All right, let's jump into this deep dive. And, you know, today we're going to be talking about the temple in the New Testament.
Okay.
And I'm very excited about this topic and the source material that we're going to be looking at.
Me too.
From Dr. David L. Matthewson. He's a really fascinating lecturer about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's going to really change the way that people understand
Absolutely.
This concept of the temple.
Yeah, definitely.
So get ready, folks. We're going to uncover how this concept evolves from the Old Testament to the New Testament and takes on, you know, a whole new meaning with the arrival of Jesus.
Yeah. You know, when you say temple, most people picture a building.
Right.
Right. Like some sort of, you know, specific place of worship.
Right.
But Dr. Matthewson points out that this idea of a dwelling place for God goes way back even to the Garden of Eden.
The Garden of Eden. Wait. So you're saying like the very first sanctuary.
Exactly. Think about it. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. It was this place of intimacy, of connection.
And then later on in the Old Testament, we see the tabernacle and then, of course, the temple in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
These were physical structures.
Right.
Designed to represent God's presence.
Yeah.
Among his people.
Yeah.
It's almost like humanity was trying to recapture that closeness with God that was lost back in Eden.
Right. So it was almost like a way to make God's presence like tangible and visible in a way, right?
Exactly. But here's where things get super interesting. When Jesus arrives on the scene, things change big time. The New Testament, especially the Gospels, present Jesus as the fulfillment of the temple.
Whoa, wait. So you're saying that Jesus becomes the dwelling place of God?
That's exactly it. That's what the New Testament writers are saying. And this is huge because it means you don't have to go to a specific building, a specific place to connect with God.
Right.
You know, that access is open to everyone everywhere through Christ.
Wow. I bet that was a radical idea for people back then.
Oh, absolutely. So if Jesus is the new temple, what happens to the idea of the temple after he ascends? I mean, does it just vanish?
It might seem like it, but actually it kind of evolves in this unexpected direction.
Okay.
The Apostle Paul, in his letters to the early churches, he takes this concept and runs with it. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2 Corinthians 6, he says flat out, the community of believers, the church, is God's temple.
Hold on. So it's not just a metaphor. He's actually saying that the people themselves are the dwelling place of God.
You got it.
Yeah.
Paul's not just being poetic here. He's making a huge theological point.
Yeah.
And get this. He even backs it up with quotes from the Old Testament, like from Leviticus and Ezekiel, books that deal with the tabernacle and the prophesied restored temple.
Oh, wow.
He's showing how this new understanding of temple is rooted in Scripture.
Okay. So the temple goes from being a building to being embodied in a person, Jesus.
Right.
And now it's the community that becomes the temple. I mean, that's quite a journey.
It really is. And Paul takes it a step further. In Ephesians 2, he describes the church as this building, you know, with a foundation, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone.
Yeah.
So you could say that each believer is like a living stone in this spiritual structure.
I love that image. It really helps to visualize it all. Hmm. But were other Jewish groups at the time also talking about the people as a temple?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes. But what sets the New Testament apart is the emphasis on Jesus as the fulfillment of those Old Testament hopes for a restored temple. So while other groups were still anticipating a future physical temple, the New Testament authors saw that future as already present in Jesus and the community of his followers.
So it's like the New Testament writers are taking this concept of temple.
Yes.
That's so ingrained in Jewish tradition.
Totally.
And redefining it in light of who Jesus is and what he accomplished. It's not just like a building swap. It's the whole new way of understanding God's relationship to us.
Absolutely. And that new understanding has huge implications for how we approach things like forgiveness, for example.
Yeah, because in the Old Testament, forgiveness was tied to the rituals.
Exactly.
And the sacrifices performed in the temple. But now,
now we have Jesus. The book of Hebrews presents him as the ultimate high priest, the one who offers the perfect once-for-all sacrifice. Forgiveness is now available to us through him, not through the rituals of a physical building.
So we don't need to go to a special building or rely on priests to connect with God.
Exactly.
Access to God's presence and forgiveness is open to all who come to him through Christ.
And this idea of priesthood is expanded even further. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 2 also describes believers as living stones forming a spiritual house. But here's the really cool part. It calls all Christians a royal priesthood, echoing Exodus 19.
I'm seeing the connection.
Yeah.
In Exodus, God calls the entire nation of Israel a kingdom of priests. But now 1 Peter is applying that to all believers in Christ.
Exactly.
Regardless of their background. It's like the priesthood is no longer limited to a select few, but it's open to everyone who's united to Christ.
Precisely. It's this incredible expansion of access to God. But this journey of the temple isn't over yet.
Okay.
There's another layer to uncover, and that's where the concept of the already and the not yet comes in.
I'm intrigued. What do you mean by already and not yet? So the already and the not yet. When it comes to the temple, okay, I'm with you. Give me the details.
All right, well, think of it this way. The already is everything we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus as the fulfillment of the temple, the church as the dwelling place of God. Right now, in the present. But it doesn't end there. The book of Revelation gives us a glimpse of the not yet. It gives us a vision of this future where the temple takes on its ultimate, like, final form.
Okay. Revelation, the book with all the wild imagery, the symbolism. What does it say about the temple?
Well, Revelation chapters 21 and 22 specifically describe the new Jerusalem descending from heaven and this city. It's depicted in very temple-like terms.
So even though the physical temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, you know, way back in 70 AD.
Right.
The idea of a temple doesn't disappear. It gets reimagined on this huge cosmic scale.
Yeah. John, the author of Revelation, he's not talking about rebuilding the temple like we knew it.
Right.
You know, he's portraying this entire New Jerusalem as the temple.
Wow.
A radiant dwelling place for God. Just imagine that.
Well, okay, that's a big leap from a physical building. So instead of God dwelling in a specific structure, God's presence fills the whole city.
That's the idea. It's the total fulfillment of that deep longing for God to dwell with humanity. Remember back in Eden, God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden?
Right.
But now in this new creation, that intimacy is restored, but it's like on a grand scale. God's presence is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm starting to get it, but what are the specific details in Revelation that point to the New Jerusalem being a temple? I mean, it's all very symbolic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It is. But there are some clues. For example, John describes the city as having 12 gates, right? And they're inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it has these 12 foundations with the names of the 12 apostles.
Those numbers definitely connect back to the Old Testament.
Yes.
It's like those familiar symbols that represent the people of God.
Exactly. And it goes on, it describes the city's structure, like using these precious materials. Gold, jewels, pearls. You know, those were associated with the design of the tabernacle and the temple back in Jerusalem.
So he's using imagery that his original audience would have, like, understood to get across this idea of a new glorious dwelling place for God.
Absolutely. And the most striking detail. Well, John states flat out that there is no separate temple building in the New Jerusalem because God himself is its temple, along with the Lamb, which is the symbol for Jesus.
Wow. Okay. That's powerful. So the New Jerusalem becomes this ultimate culmination of everything that the temple has always pointed toward.
Yes.
This place where the separation between God and humanity is totally healed.
It's the climax of this whole journey, right? From Eden to the tabernacle to the temple in Jerusalem, and now this mind-blowing vision of the New Jerusalem.
From garden to tent to building to a whole city. That's quite the evolution.
It is, and it really shows how God's desire for closeness with humanity has never changed.
I see a pattern here. The concept of the temple. It goes from a physical structure to a person, Jesus, to a community, the church, and then finally to an entirely new creation.
You got it. And what's interesting is this not yet aspect of the temple. It doesn't negate the already part. You know what I mean? It actually makes it even more meaningful.
How so?
Well, if we only focused on the present, you know, the church as the temple, it might be easy to just get complacent. We might forget that what we see now isn't the end of the story. But Revelation reminds us that we're heading towards something way more magnificent.
Okay.
This reality where God's presence will be fully and gloriously revealed, where everything is made new.
It gives us hope, right?
Not yet.
It fuels this longing for that ultimate dwelling place.
Yes.
It reminds us that there's still more to come.
Yeah. But it also challenges us to live in the present as God's temple, you know,
mm-hmm.
reflecting his love, his grace, his holiness in a world that desperately needs it.
Which brings us to, I think, a very important question. If we are the temple of God, both individually and as a community, what does that look like in our lives right now? It really is an important question. I mean, it's easy to get kind of lost in the theological ideas.
Right.
But we got to think about like the real world implications.
Exactly.
So if we are the temple of God,
mm-hmm.
how does that actually change how we live?
It changes everything. Like, seriously, think about it. If we believe that God's spirit actually dwells within us.
Right.
Then our bodies become the sacred space. Every action, every word we speak.
Yeah.
It all becomes an act of worship.
Yeah.
A reflection of the God who lives in us.
It's like we are these walking, talking temples.
Yes.
Carrying God's presence with us wherever we go.
Yeah.
That's a pretty mind-blowing thought. That's, I mean, it's also a big responsibility.
It is. It's not something to be taken lightly. It means we have to live with purpose, with integrity, with compassion. It challenges us to really look at, you know, our priorities,
right.
our values, even the little things we do every day.
It makes me think about how I treat my body, my mind, my relationships.
Right.
Am I honoring this temple that God has created in me?
Exactly.
Am I making space for his spirit to grow?
And remember, we're not just individual temples. We're part of a larger temple, the church.
Right.
This community of believers
mm-hmm.
united by God's spirit, we're called to support each other, encourage each other to create a space where everyone feels welcome and loved.
It's like we're all individual stones in this big spiritual building, right?
Right.
And the strength and beauty of that temple, it depends on the quality of our lives.
Yeah.
How we treat each other, how we love each other.
Absolutely. And it's not just about being nice to each other, you know, or
right.
putting on a show. It's about letting God's love and grace flow through us
mm-hmm.
and touch everyone around us. It's about reflecting God's character
because
in all that we do.
This deep dive has really shown me how relevant this idea of the temple is.
Mm.
It's not just some ancient concept. It's a living reality
yes.
that affects our present and our future.
And it's a reality that invites us to be part of something so much bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of a story that started in Eden, found its fulfillment in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and continues today. As we let God's spirit live in us, we become part of his work of redemption and renewal.
It's amazing to think that each of us can be a dwelling place for God.
It is.
So as we finish this episode, I want to leave you with this thought. If you are the temple of God, how will you live differently? How will you show his presence to the world?
That's a great question to think about. And I encourage you to keep digging into this idea. Explore the scriptures, reflect on your own life, and let the truth of God living in you change you from the inside out.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the temple in the New Testament. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep discovering the amazing things in God's Word.